This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Sir, I don't want to know where you work. I don't want to know the name of your boss. I want you to tell me, you had a sexual relationship with your female employer?
Yes, sir.
What do you do for a living?
Yes, sir, I'm a telemarketer for a pharmaceutical sales company.
And this boss was a supervisor?
Yes, he's the accounts manager.
Now, what is significant about this relationship with your boss? Did she force you into it?
That's the thing. I'm not sure. I mean, I did get involved with her. She is my boss. I can understand why she was probably coming on to me, because I am, you know, I'm considered to be a good-looking man at my office, and she was very, very interested in me.
Well, why did you contact my associate producer, Chris Pelton?
Because I'm really in the throes kind of a moral dilemma. I did have a sexual relationship with my boss, and I know that she did enjoy it. But around me, and my situation at work has not improved that much. I mean, I still have the same accounts that I had. I came in late, and she got on my case about it. I know, and I know she enjoyed being with me sexually. But she has not done things that I thought maybe she would, that's all.
I mean, well, you mentioned...
I mean, she did give me the keys. We have a company car. She did give me the keys to that, but I've had to pay for my own gas. She did say she'd let me use a company condo in Laguna Beach, but I haven't heard nothing about that.
Yeah, but what is your dilemma?
Well, I mean, my dilemma is she wants me to go on a company conference in Florida with her, and I know that means she probably wants me to have sex with her. And she hasn't done anything really that good for me. And I'll give you an example.
What do you mean?
Well, I went to lunch last Monday. I'm going to give you an example. I went to lunch last Monday, and I had a couple beers, and I was feeling like I needed a beer. And I come back to office, and I guess she smelled the beer and sent me home for the day without pay. And here's where it's getting touchy, because I had sex with her because she came on to me, and I know it was good for her. I mean, but nothing's gotten that much better for me at work. And she could make it better because she's my boss.
She enjoyed her physical relationship with you. She's your boss.
Oh, absolutely. I know she thought that was hot. And now she wants me to go to this conference with her, and I don't know if I should go, because I don't know if it will do any good, even if I give her the best sex that she's had. I know that she's probably had the best sex she's ever had. And my question is it time for me to file a sexual harassment lawsuit?
Well, I mean, what would it take for you not to file a sexual harassment lawsuit? Technically, by sexual harassment, you mean because she's your boss and she had sex with you, you want to file this suit?
Well, I mean, I don't know. She's a superior. She came on sexually to me. And, I mean, I think the company at this point is kind of over a barrel on this.
Well, all right, let me go back to my original question. What would you need not to file a sexual harassment lawsuit against this woman?
I mean, the thing is, Mr. Henry, if I could just say, this would not even be an issue if she was better looking, but she's not very hot. She's short, and I think she's Mexican or something, which is not bad, because her sister is very, very hot. But if she, see what I'm saying? So I went above and beyond the call of duty on this.
Well, Chris, you had sex with your boss, which is probably inappropriate if she uses that to hold you back in the office, and you say that she has.
Yes, sir.
And you say she came on to you.
Yes, sir.
How did she hold you back in the office?
Again, like I said, she said that I could use a company car, but it's like a Chevy Lumina. I know they have a town car. She said that maybe I'd get a raise, or she didn't say that. But
okay, this is the thing. Did she offer you the town car?
No, but I mean, I had sex with her, and I knew it was hot for her, and now she's not doing anything that's all that good, even though she said I could come to the company conference with her, which I guess she thinks that's good because it's Florida, but she's not that hot, man. I mean, in other words, I would have to be going to this, and it would be like work, you know.
Having sex with her?
Yes, sir. It would be like work.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. You talked to this guy, Chris? You talked to him before he went on the air. His name is Chris Norton, and he is a telemarketer from Manhattan Beach. He wants to know if he should sue his female employer for sexual harassment. He had sex with her, and nothing has really improved at the workplace as the result. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should he sue her? And you know, we're probably the wrong people to be asking, Chris, because we are not attorneys here.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is, if I went to, I would, here's, you asked me what I would want not to sue.
Right. What would it be?
I'd probably want a raise, and I would like to have 2 to 3 Fridays off a month. And if she gave me an extra hour lunch, I have said to her that I would continue the shag. I would continue the shag, you know, the shag effort. I mean, I know my rights, and I know it sounds like I'm trying to get something. And
I don't know what you mean by shag, by having sex with her.
Yeah, yes, sir. And I know my rights, okay? And all I'm saying is if I have sex with her, I should get something, and she's not that great looking. So I am being inconvenienced. She's short, like I said. And
all right, Chris, I got to tell you, this sounds like a guy trying to get money or he'll file a lawsuit. This is like a little bit of illegal extortion.
No, no, it's not, sir. It's not. I know my rights. And the law says that a superior should not sexually come on to you. If they do, you should be not punished for it.
And you call not getting punished, getting 3 lunches off a month, a raise, and 2-hour lunches, and you don't like the company car?
No, I mean, the company car's fine. What I'm saying is it was a Chevy Lumina, though, and they got 2 town cars that I've seen, and I also seen in the yard around the back where they wax them. I know they have a caddy. Otherwise,
you're going to file a sexual harassment suit.
I will have no choice, sir, because I do know my rights, and I talked to 2 gentlemen at a legal aid service, and they also said that I know my rights. And also on top of that, the other thing I want to mention, Mr. Henry, is she did enjoy, I gave her, I don't want to be, you know, graphic or anything.
Well, I'd rather you not be graphic. What did you say? Were you very, very good to her?
I mean, I rocked her world, yeah. I rocked her world. And then we come back, and nothing's really gotten better, so.
All right, what I'm hearing here is she hasn't made life better for you, so you may blow the whistle on her.
Well, first of all, you have to understand, this woman has not never had it like I give it to her, and I work my butt off. Now, that's the truth, sir,
I believe that you're a sexy guy and a good-looking guy.
No, but the fact is I did work hard, and it was not all pleasant because of that she wasn't that good-looking.
Well, then why did you have sex with her?
She came on to me, and...
And what, you were afraid if you didn't respond she would hold it against you?
Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, I do.
You really do?
Yes, sir, that's...
That's what you think, huh? Because you're not just saying this.
No, and I mean, yes, sir, I really do. And I did the deed, even though she doesn't shave, she doesn't...
All right, I don't want to know any of those things, Chris. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I don't need to know that. I'm just saying, because you're telling me that having sex with this woman was decidedly unpleasant.
It was not the best. I mean, I am very hot. I mean, at least women tell me that. And I can do better than her, but I did because I do like her, but also because I know, as my boss, she could do things.
You like her, but also maybe she could do things for you.
I mean, you're making it sound...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This young man, Chris Norton, has had sex with his boss. His life at work hasn't improved that much. He thought it might, having sex with his female superior, and now he has... What do we call it? Life hasn't gotten that much better. Here is Janet. Janet, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, Chris, darling. I have a problem with you. I think that you're acting more like a female prostitute than a man. And I don't think you deserve anything because, first of all, you chose to have sex with her. Nobody twisted your arm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even if it's still sexual harassment, even if you choose to have sex with him. Look at the law, because I know the law. I do. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, there's a lot of women who choose to have sex with their bosses, too. But it's still sexual harassment.
Okay. And something else you're doing is you're trying to blackmail her. You're saying that she...
No, I'm not.
Let the lady finish.
You're saying that she should do this and that and the other for you, and I don't think there was a contract or an agreement. I think that that's after the fact, that you should have gotten those points straight before you ever went to bed with her.
I mean, she's the one who's running the risk. She had sex with me. Now she's not doing anything. I can file a complaint.
Yeah.
About sexual harassment.
They could fire her for doing what you want her to do, too. So she has a point.
How are they going to find out about it? How are they going to find out about it?
All right, so in other words, you're not going to tell anybody if she gives you these things.
No, I'm just saying I'm expecting. Anybody would expect what I'm expecting. Yes. Anybody would expect what I'm expecting.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
I don't think so. Unless you had an agreement up front, and that would make it prostitution.
Well, if you, and I don't know what you do for a living, man, but say you had sex with your boss and you gave it to him better than he'd ever had it, wouldn't you expect something good?
All right, first of all, the only reason I would have sex with my boss is if I was in love with him and I was looking for a relationship, for what he could give me.
No, you know full well.
I mean, that's what the difference is between you and me.
I think it's easy to say, but when he slaps that bad boy out, you wouldn't be on top of that?
And would you please be mindful, sir, of who you're talking to, a lady?
I'm sorry, sir.
We're talking to a lady, and she's talking about, really, more than anything else, Janet, we're talking about relationships in the office place, whether it was good sex or bad.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you're saying this woman would have sex with any man who could up her position in life?
No, I'm not saying any man. I'm saying...
Well, you're saying her boss.
I'm saying she'd have a hard time turning that down if she...
Are you broke?
I'm sorry?
Are you broke? Are you in need of money?
I mean, I drive a Boss Mustang. It's rebuilt, okay? It's restored. It's a 65 Boss Mustang, okay? But I had to rebuild it myself, and that put me out probably... I mean, just dropping the engine out of it alone is about $1,500.
I'm asking you, are you broke?
From rebuilding my engine, yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I am.
So you need the money?
I do need the raise, yeah. And if this lady, Janet, is that your name, ma'am? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. If you had just dropped the engine out of a Boss Mustang, and I don't know if you know they're about 335 cubic inch, okay, which means I had to get a winch, I had to get a hook, I had to get my brother-in-law's truck. All that cost me money.
Oh, what does that have to do with having sex with your boss? I mean, you know, you're making it into a money proposition. You're making it into what can you do for me? And that's prostitution.
No.
You're a gold digger.
No,
plain
ma'am.
And simple.
No, ma'am. Mr. Henry asked me if I was poor. And I said, well, yeah, okay. Because what we were going to do, we were going to go out to the flats 2 weeks from today because they were having timing runs.
Forget about your car hobby, all right? I want to know if you're broke. Do you have food in the icebox?
Yeah, barely. I mean...
But you have a job, sir, don't you?
Yeah, but, I mean, she treats me like everybody else.
The boss you had sex with?
Yes, sir.
All right.
She does not. She gave you the key to the company car. Even though it's not the good car, you still got the keys to the Lumina, right?
Well, that's true, ma'am.
Does everyone have keys to the Lumina?
I do not know the answer to that, ma'am.
Well, I think, you know, she's showing you some kind of favoritism. And, you know, for you to think that it's all right to go and have a couple of beers because you needed them, and it's a work day, I think that's going far beyond the limits. I mean, how can she condone that? I mean, she wouldn't let anyone else do that.
She could have overlooked it. She could have just said, you know, whatever. I mean, I came back. I gave her a big kiss. You know,
well, what are you doing that in the office for, man? That's insane.
Yeah.
No wonder she's going to smell the beer on your breath.
What difference does it make? She smelled worse than that when we've been together. Okay?
Well, I don't know what that means, sir.
All
right, 1-800, thank you very much, Janet.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is a curious tale. This guy, Chris Norton of Manhattan Beach, has had a sexual relationship with his female supervisor. His life at work did not improve the way he thought it would after having sex with this woman, even after he, and I wrote some of his quotes down, gave it to her good, end quote. Excuse me. And as a result, He believes now he'd like to file a sexual harassment lawsuit. As you know, having sex with a subordinate can be very, very dicey for any employer, any supervisor. 1-800-449-8686. Does this guy have a case? This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. And then she got $120,000.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Tell me, Mr. Norton, what do you mean? You were telling me about a young lady in your business?
In the pharmaceutical company, right.
Okay, and she was sexually harassed?
She had a relationship, like, with Mr. Chamberlain, who was the...
I don't want any names, okay? God, can we dump that, please? Okay. No names, all right?
Yes, sir.
So what happened?
She had sex with one of the vice presidents, and he told us, I mean, he... Because at one of the... We had a company picnic, and we were sitting around, and we had a couple of Ice House beers, because somebody went out and got a case of Ice House beers, and... He said she could suck a golf ball through a garden hose is what the way he...
But okay, could we dump that, please? Because I don't want that crap. Listen to what I'm saying to you, Chris, all right? No language, no sexual metaphor or reference. Do you understand?
I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, so he said she was really hot in bed.
Yeah, and the next thing we know, he thought that she loved him because he said he gave it to her good. And the next thing we know, she sued him for sexual harassment, $120,000. She got $120,000. And he's not working at the company no more. Now, how come that will happen for a woman, but not for a man? And that's the whole thing that I'm saying. I'm talking about human rights, and why don't I have human rights? And I gave this boss that I have the best sex that she's ever had. And if you were to see her, I mean, it was the toughest days. God. So,
all right, pal, you've kept on saying how ugly she was.
She wasn't ugly, man.
All right, she wasn't ugly, but it was a real tough job for you. Now you're expecting money.
She was my boss. She should not have done it.
Oh, now she shouldn't have done it. All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Kim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, Kim. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I thought you called me Jim.
Kim.
Hi, I work in human resources, and I've done it for about 2 years now. And, Chris was completely wrong for even sleeping with her. If he knew this story that the president of the company or whoever was telling him, why would he be dumb enough to get involved with this woman?
Because the girl...
The president got nothing except where he got unemployment. Unemployment line.
No, he was the boss, and the girl got $120,000. My boss is the girl that slept...
See, he slept with his boss.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, Chris...
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, so now you don't know.
What I'm trying to talk... Okay, no, I'm sorry.
You don't have anything to say because your whole thing is shot.
From what has come out of your mouth, I can tell what caliber person you are. You shouldn't have slept with her. That was the main mistake.
No, but she
Why
wanted
would you
it.
Sleep with her?
She wanted
if
it.
If you're going to sleep with somebody... If you think you're going to get benefits or something, why wouldn't it be her? Go to the owner of the company. That is where you are ignorant.
She wanted it. Because she knew I was hot.
All right, hold on. Kim, hold the line, will you please? And Chris, you too. Chris Norton slept with his boss, and now he's not getting life the way he wanted. He wants to sue her. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
One 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Phil Henry with Chris Norton. He's a telemarketer from a Manhattan Beach company. That's all we're going to tell you. He is approaching a lawsuit for sexual harassment against a female supervisor who he said he had sex with and who he said now is making his life at work not any better. Is she making it worse?
I don't know, Mr. Henry. I mean, I've been emotionally traumatized in a lot of ways by it, so I don't know.
How have you been emotionally traumatized, sir?
I'm sorry?
How have you been emotionally traumatized?
Okay. I was working there, and she came over and said, do you want to go out and have a drink over Rusty Pelican? And I said, yeah. I took her for a drink. I knew that she was my boss. I knew she thought that I was attractive because I am very attractive, okay? Now, I don't know, should I have sex with her or not? I mean, you know...
Why? How about not having sex with her?
Because she had a pretty good body, and I didn't think anything was wrong. But she also had upper lip hair and a lot of stuff that I would also consider to be against my rights. And so that's why I went to my attorney, and I said I was sexually harassed, but I went along with it. But now that I think about it, a lot of the stuff that happened was against my rights.
How is having upper lip hair against your rights?
No, I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is, it was difficult.
All right, let me go back to... I got Kim hanging on. Go ahead, Kim.
Chris, cut your losses. You got stiff, okay? It's just like if somebody pulled up, pumped some gas, and didn't pay. You got stiff.
Well,
cut your losses.
I can take her to court for sexual harassment right now. I mean, that's not the problem. But the problem is, should I? That's all I'm saying.
Sexual her? Okay.
Yeah, she's my supervisor. She's not supposed to.
Okay.
Even though I am hot. I'm good looking. But what difference does that make?
It doesn't make a difference what you look like. Okay. What? I don't think you understand what sexual harassment is.
Yeah, I do. You can't have sex with anybody that makes less money than you or is underneath you.
They would fire you too, Chris, if they found out about the whole thing.
Well, I don't know.
You're not under 18 or under 16, whatever state you're in.
This is the thing, Mr. Henry. Women think if they have sex, then they can sue a guy for having sex with them. But a guy, no, I can't do it. Well,
no, don't say women.
Sorry.
Don't say women.
Some women. They all think they can.
No, they don't all think they can. Some women have legitimate sexual harassment claims.
And maybe some men do too. Hello. I'm very good looking. Why do I have to put up with some, you know, two bagger just because she's my boss coming on to me?
But what was so hard about having sex with a woman that you have to? You're taking advantage of all the other people out there that are really sexually harassed.
What are you talking about? I had sex with her. She's not that good looking.
Did she tie you up?
What?
Did she tie you up? Were you forced into it?
Well, let me ask you something. I mean, she had sideburns, and I'm supposed to have sex with that?
I would have said, look, lady.
Look at, yes, goodbye. I mean, I'm not interested.
I'm not cool with the sideburns.
But also, she has the keys to the company car, too. So what?
Look at,
well,
pal.
Well, if you're going to have sex just so you can drive a Chevy Lumina around, you need to assess yourself first.
What?
If you're going to have sex just so you can have a few joyrides in a Chevy Lumina, then you need to take assessment on yourself. I mean,
well,
is this what you want to do
Chevy
with your
Lumina.
Life?
I want to say they got a Caddy, they got a Lincoln Town Car, they had an Escalade, and they had a couple things back in the yard. That's what John Benson told me. He works in the yard on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Well,
so I've been in there, and I've seen what they got.
Chris, I know I'm straying off the subject here, but bear with me. What's the highest level of education?
Probably senior in college.
Excuse me?
A senior in college. Isn't that as high as you can go?
No.
What degree do you hold?
You. How high did you go?
Oh, I went to high school.
Okay, well, all right.
And then I went to work at Josh Locum's as a waiter.
Okay, so you don't have a degree.
That's where I've learned most about women, when I was working.
Okay, Chris, that's fine. The lady's asking you about your professional requirement, your professional experience, not how you picked up women.
Well, but I mean, that's where I learned a lot about women.
Let me tell you, you don't learn about women from work, because
hey,
I mean...
You should go to Josh Slocum's on a Saturday night. because, man, they're coming in there. It's a meat market.
Okay.
All right.
What you should have done is, like you said, she approached you, and at some point in time, you felt threatened about her job.
I never felt threatened.
You didn't feel threatened.
No.
Then you don't. You have no foundation for a
I just
want
to know if I can get the Lumina or not. And if she not give me the Lumina, then I'm threatened by that.
You're threatened because you've got the Lumina.
Yes, sir.
All right, look at Kim, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Here is, I believe we're going over to Linda. Go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, thank you. Love your show. Number
thank
one,
you.
Chris, I have had two sexual harassment suits and was successful in both of them.
Filed against you?
No, not filed against me that I filed. There was no sex involved. Sexual harassment is when someone harasses you because of who you are.
Yes, ma'am, she did.
And I never went to bed with them. I never opened up the door to have drinks with them. These were unwanted advances.
Are you hot?
Am I hot?
Yes, ma'am.
Just talking to you, I don't think you're too hot, because who would compromise their own self-esteem to sleep with somebody that didn't want to? That's another story.
Well, ma'am, I'm just saying
about that... sexual harassment.
I'm just saying that around
anytime
work, the ladies...
sexual harassment takes place, you are to go to a superior.
Well,
now,
that's
the company that I work for.
That's my moral dilemma.
Where there is not supposed to be any outside fraternization. If it does happen, it's kept outside the business, outside of everything, because both people can lose their jobs.
Yes, ma'am. My attorney told me, though, that you have to be hot in order to win a sexual harassment case.
You have to be hot? You are so wrong.
Okay, that was my understanding.
That you are so wrong. I don't know what he's perceiving.
No, he said...
When you accepted to go out with a drink, that was a drink. She didn't say, come have a drink and then we're going to bed.
Well, that's understood. That's understood.
Why? You went to bed with her when you said she wasn't hot, as you put it.
But she went to bed with me because I'm hot.
She went to bed with you because you're hot?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Then you're just not too bright, Chris, and that's about all I have to say.
Well, ma'am, I asked you, and you didn't ask. Are you or are you not hot?
Am I or am I not hot? I guess in one of the situations I could have been considered, if you want, hot. But then again, everyone has different standards.
That is true, ma'am.
And I have been around many good-looking men that I have not approached in such a way.
Right.
And as far as sexual harassment in the state of Michigan, you have to file. There has to be three different things in the file before you can even go forth and put a suit on to somebody.
May I ask you a personal question? Because you sound very intelligent. Could I ask you how old you are?
I'm 52.
Oh, that's I've been out with women at 52. They're really very sassy and intelligent. That's great.
But the only problem is that you're going about it the wrong way. You should have went to somebody if you thought this was going to interfere with your job.
Well, the
you
thing is,
come forward
there's a reason. But see, there's a reason why you were sexually harassed. Are you sassy?
I was working with almost 250 men when I had
my
first.
But would you consider yourself to be sassy?
That has nothing to do with sexual harassment.
But I guess for my own.
That has nothing to do with.
I guess for my own information, are you sassy? Are you hot? Or
well, my boyfriend seems to think I am, but that's beside the point.
Do you wear sexy underwear, or?
Oh, will you stop?
I don't even think that enters into it. It doesn't matter if I do or not.
There's a lot
that
of different types
no
of thongs.
Way. The first time somebody
Project.
Touched my ass, I turned, excuse me, the first time someone touched me inappropriately, they were told right then and there.
See, that tells me information, and information's good, ma'am, because if someone touched your butt must be hot. All right.
It doesn't matter if it's
will you knock it off? Knock
that
it off.
That is not what sexual harassment is about. And there's no way to get that through. You can go to any attorney anywhere and find someone who agrees with what you're saying.
Okay, that's interesting. Because I talked to my lawyer.
And you have to go in front of a judge and a jury.
Yes, ma'am.
They're not going to look if you're hot or if you're not.
Well, ma'am,
what they're going to look at is how you handled it from there.
Ma'am,
If you went to somebody the first time she said, let's go out for drinks, and you didn't, and then she asked you again, and kept on, well, can we meet somewhere else? Then you have a basis for for us.
Well, that's the whole thing, because after, when we got into the bar, the lighting suddenly fell in such a way, and then I saw the lip hair. That's, I didn't know.
Well, like you said, who's too beggar, who looks at that? You were looking to go ahead in your job.
Ma'am.
And the only thing that you did was...
You were touched, right? You were touched?
I was only touched once after that.
In what way?
I was only touched on my bottom once, and that was
your
going
butt?
Through.
Okay,
that was going through
attorney,
where I worked.
This, my attorney, did he cup and squeeze, or did he just...
He didn't have to. After that, the comments started.
Was it a spanking motion, or was it...
Oh, yeah.
Will
now,
you
now,
knock
now,
it
now
up?
Now, this is to the point where...
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. I mean,
you're compromising my intelligence.
No, my attorney says it's... Did he slip a hand down so he got a finger on the crack? Or?
All right, that's it.
Thank you.
That's it. I hung up on him, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
And I hope I made my point.
Well, you made a very good point, Linda, and obviously you've been through this, and certainly it doesn't have to go as far as sex. It's simply...
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's simply a suggestion of power over another person sexually in the office place, and you have a problem. What do you want?
I just want to know if she was...
Out of here.
Can I explain
something? Tell her the underwear.
Anybody that feels sexually harassed,
yes, ma'am,
should immediately go to the highest they can go to in the company.
Thong underwear back then.
Nobody wants this to go on.
Right.
And once they do, then they keep a record of it.
Whoa.
And once that record is maintained, that's when you can legally have legal grounds to file suit.
Is your butt a B or a C?
Okay, I'm sorry, ma'am. I get him on hold and get him under control. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I love your show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye.
Is your butt a B or a C cup?
No.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got my poor, stupid brother-in-law so pissed off now with these emails that I'm sending him. You know, now he's starting to get personal. He's against the war with Iraq. And it all started with a email that he sent saying, this rush to war and all of this stuff, you know. So I sent him an email. I said, look, man, you got to understand something. I was there. I was there back in the day when everything you cats are saying now, we were saying about Vietnam. So what do you mean we're being taken in by a lot of slogans and cliches? So then I said, you know, the anti-war movement today is what I call the September 10th people. They're still hanging on to September 10th. They desperately want this to be that other time in our history when we could have, you know, kind of anti-war parties and, you know, throw a few garbage can lids and get it on with a couple of cops. And, you know, it's just back in those fond old days. Well, that really drives him nuts. So now the guy is spending more time critiquing the way I write than what I'm writing. So he finally got his big shot. Here's when you know people are emotional and they're not being intellectual, when they accuse you of being emotional. So I get the latest email from saying, well, your latest email sounds angry. Angry? I said, I was having fun messing with you. I mean, I was having fun writing to you. It's just been fantastic. And I've been copying everybody. I've been copying everybody in my family. And they're all, and where they were all weighing in at one point, now they've all dropped back, and it's just me and my brother-in-law there in London. Now, what's his latest? Oh, here's his latest. See, expatriate Americans are fascinating. They're fascinating. They're a study in the Stockholm Syndrome run amok. And they don't know it. You see, you take your average American, maybe a student, or disaffected business person. For instance, my brother-in-law is a conservative businessman. Made a lot of money in the dot-com days. Made a lot of jacks. Stocked it, you know, socked it away. And now he's at the London School of Business School of Economics, and he's doing very well. Well, you take a disaffected American and you put him in Europe, and the next thing you got is a genius. He's a genius. because he's hanging around with the British and he's hanging around with the French. Oh, he's out on the street, see? He's got his fingers to the pulse. And then the next thing you get is the email from your relative in Europe. I'm here with these people. I know what's going on. Maybe you should get out of your little world. Yeah, okay, man. Whatever. I've traveled Asia. I've traveled Europe. And he said, and dig this. He said, I can find within 5 square blocks of here scholars, many scholars who would disagree with you, but I don't need to. My wife and I can do it on our own. I'm like, dude, I haven't even mentioned my name because I've tried to keep this very unpersonal. I haven't even referred to him by name. I'm like writing these essays, but he constantly throws my name into his, and then he brings up his wife's name, and, oh, the poor guy. It's like, you know what it is? It's like a case of retarded anti-Vietnam syndrome. In other words, they didn't have a chance either to be old enough or smart enough to party during the anti-Vietnam War days, so this is their shot. Only problem is, this is the wrong time. It's the wrong war, man. If you're against this one, you might as well go into your room, take out a nickel-plated revolver, and do the honorable thing. This is the wrong time and the wrong place. However, I want you to know this now. I'm now against the war in Iraq. I'm totally against it. I do not want a war with Iraq. I want our troops home. And I can't wait for, let's say, a nice, fat radiological bomb to go off in a mall, say in Kansas City. And then I'll get on the email and email my brother-in-law. Say, what do you think? What did we do this time to piss him off? Maybe we should go back and have a symposium on it. Maybe we should have a round table. Maybe we should go to the UN and beat our breasts and go, mea culpa, mea culpa. Maybe we should give more money to the UN. Anything, please don't hurt us. So I want us home. I want our troops out of there. Come on home. And of course, now I can't guarantee what's going to happen after the next terrorist attack. Oh, I do know what's going to happen, but I can't really guarantee that I can do anything about it. What will happen is people will blame the government that time. See, after the Al-Qaeda attack in New York, we had it sort of right. We blamed Al-Qaeda. But the next one, we're going to blame the government because it didn't protect us. It didn't protect us. That's what's going to happen. And the first guy in line is going to be my brother-in-law because his stock portfolio ain't as fat as it was. I told him, I said, look, dude, what do you care? If we lose the war, your stock portfolio is going to go in the toilet. You're right. However, if we win, brother, you better start making plans for another whirlwind American Express, world traveler vacation. Because it's on the horizon. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. And now, Phil Hendry.
All right, go ahead, sir.
I don't know if I'm...
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Give us your name and where you live and tell us what this is referring to.
Yes, sir. My name is Steve Ozell. Sir, I live at 223 Borghese Circle in Corona, California. And this is referring to something a while back that happened to me. I want to say first that I am very happy that young Elizabeth Smart is alive and well and with her family. I do have one thing, along with millions, to say that I never thought she would be found alive, sir. I just felt, with all the police and what they know, most of these poor children are killed by their abductors.
All right. Now, you were having a discussion with a neighbor?
That is correct.
What is his name?
His name is Mr. Roy Hutchins.
And he lives next to you?
Yes, he lives on Borghese Circle as well. And he and his family were at our home for a barbecue last August. And at that time, I made the statement to Mr. Hutchins that I did not think they would ever find this child alive based upon what the police know about this stuff.
Okay. Where are you right now?
I'm in a workshop that I have.
Okay, maybe you could move a little bit further away because I can hear some workmen.
All right, sir, I'm sorry. I made this statement to Mr. Hutchins that I didn't think they would ever know, ever find this child alive based upon what the police know. Mr. Hutchins.
Now, you're talking about Elizabeth Smart. You never thought they'd find her alive.
No, sir, I did not. And again, I want to say how grateful I am that they did.
I understand that, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Hutchins at that time was disagreeing with me, saying how, you know, telling me, how do you know for sure? Every bit of information that the police have tell us they don't know. That's how I know. And that's what I said to him. But he said that I didn't know for sure, that maybe they would. And I told him, I'll tell you what, there's no way they're going to find the girl alive. And I know that I'm wrong, but that's what I said. And so at that time, and I have the notes that my attorney asked me to take, who is Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California, Mr. Hutchins said to me, do you want to make a bet on that?
All right, you two guys bet, and the bet was you didn't think she'd be found alive, and he did.
Yes, sir.
All right, what was the bet?
And he said, do you want to make a bet on that? And I said, hell yes, on account of what the police tell us. And I thought that'd be a pretty good bet. I didn't think they would find her alive, that they would never find her alive. So Mr. Hutchins said that they would, and then we said, okay, loser gets on his knees. And I never had no intention. I mean, I'm not gay or of ever making him do that to me.
All right, I'm assuming that loser gets on his knees is a euphemism for some kind of sex.
Yes, sir.
And you didn't have any intention, if they had found this poor girl dead, you had no intention of holding him to that?
No, I did not, sir.
All right.
So I forgot all about it until Wednesday when, thank God, they found the child alive. On Thursday, at approximately 10:17 in the morning, my wife pulled a package out of our mailbox. It was addressed to me, and at that time, she brought it into my office. I opened it. I found a set of knee pads with a note that said, love, Roy.
Who you understand to be Roy Hutchins?
I understand this to be my neighbor, Roy Hutchins. On Thursday night, he came over to my house to return a Craftsman socket set he had borrowed, and he said, and I did take notes on this as well, he pointed down at his private area, winked at me, and asked if I got those knee pads. And then made the comment in full earshot of my wife, April, if it'll make you feel more comfortable. Excuse me.
I understand. If you need a drink of water.
Yes, sir.
So, to update people, you bet some guy that they'd never find Elizabeth Smart alive. He bet you they would. And the loser gets on his knees, right? All right, he's not there, but that was a loser gets on his knees. Obviously some kind of a joke bet between men. Mr. Bozell was proven wrong. They did find, thankfully, Elizabeth Smart alive. Now we find that the next-door neighbor has mailed him knee pads and has winked at him and has said, if it'll make you feel more comfortable, what, sir?
He winked at me, and he said, in full earshot of my wife, April, if it'll make you feel more comfortable, I'll take you to dinner first.
All right, I think this is a man who's just razzing you and giving you a hard time. You realize that, don't you?
Yes, sir, but he defamed me in front of my wife. That's first on three other occasions. He winked, he pointed down at his crotch area without any common decency in front of my wife.
All right, did your wife react to any of this?
On the second occasion, my wife was with me at a volleyball tournament my daughter was having over at the recreation area, and Mr. Hutchins did it at that time, too, and then my wife laughed, kissed me on the cheek, and said, I'll give you some pointers. And these are things that I wrote down.
Well, it sounds like they were just having some fun.
Well, they might be having fun, sir, but I was humiliated in front of my wife and several neighbors and parents. I was also humiliated because I also found it necessary to go to my car. And I just broke down. And that's when Jonathan Billeray, who was on my daughter's volleyball team, walked by the window, laughed, and then told the kids that Mr. Bozell cries like a girl.
All right, so you humiliated to the kids.
I just want to get through this, sir.
Go ahead.
My attorney, Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California, has drawn up two civil complaints. One against Mr. Hutchins, the parents of the Holloway boy, and an order of restraint against my wife ridiculing me concerning the practice of oral sex.
Now, what is the other, Mr. Bozell?
Well, this is the legal move that could, we feel, set legal precedent. My attorney believes we are breaking new ground. She believes that I am within my rights to sue the Smart family for $2.5 million.
You're kidding me.
No, sir, I am not.
What are you going to sue the Smart family for?
Because, sir, their daughter was kidnapped, and that act alone caused me to enter into a bet that resulted in my humiliation. Also, my attorney says we can collect in a double defamation action if I were to sue Elizabeth Smart.
But what are you suing her for?
Because since she was found alive, I was humiliated.
Well, what if she'd been found dead?
Sir, thank God she was found alive. I would never do this, but I'm just telling you, I'm within my rights. I'm within my rights. It would have been better, you know, I would not have been able to do it if she was found dead, but because she's alive, so it's good. It's good for her. It's good for me.
But you're going to sue her.
No, I will not sue her. I'm not going to sue her on that, but I do think that the family should be sued.
All right, we got ourselves a real interesting tale here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This man made a bet with a neighbor that Elizabeth Smart wouldn't be found alive. The loser gets on his knees. This gentleman lost the bet. His friend has been kidding him ever since, mailing him knee pads, pointing at his you-know-what, and winking. Mr. Bozell, you want to sue not only your neighbor for defamation of character and your wife, but you think you've got a case against the Smart family.
I do. Yes, sir.
Don't you think that family's been through enough?
I do believe they've been through an awful lot, sir, and I would never want to hurt no family that lost the little girl. But they did get her back. So the pain they felt, they don't feel it anymore. Now they're partying and laughing and everything. So now I think it's a good time for me to make my move.
And if the little girl had been found dead?
I would not sue anybody who was going through that kind of pain. No, sir.
All right. So in other words, you feel perfectly fine in suing the Smarts because their daughter didn't die? And you feel perfectly fine suing them because their daughter was found alive?
You brought up the emotional part.
Yes, I did.
All right. The emotional part is, no, I won't sue no family whose daughter is found dead, but since she's alive, they're not sad anymore. And so I can sue them because they're happy now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. A guy enters into a bet with another guy. Elizabeth Smart will not be found alive. Turns out that she is. He loses the bet. And what's the payoff? The loser gets on his knees. So his friend sends him knee pads and makes a few sexual jokes. This guy's humiliated, sues his friend. His wife laughed at it. He wants to sue his wife. And now he's even considering suing the Smart family because the daughter was found alive, which made him the subject of ridicule because he picked the wrong side in a bet. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Is there such a thing as being humiliated to the extent that you need to sue? And is the Smart family responsible for their daughter being found alive, therefore they're culpable in a $2.5 million lawsuit because this guy feels like an ass? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. Bill Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
We have a man on from Corona, California, who's contemplating suing the Smart family because he bet a friend of his that Elizabeth Smart wouldn't be found alive. And the bet was, loser gets on his knees. So your friend has sent you knee pads, and your friend has been winking at you and inviting you out to dinner and making fun, basically, of this bet. But you are getting humiliated by this, correct?
Yes, sir, I am getting humiliated by it. And let me just say, because I can hear the skepticism in your voice, sir, this was done in front of my wife. It was done at my daughter's volleyball tournament. I would think that the Smarts would have a little more sensitivity.
Now, wait. What do you mean more sensitivity? For what?
That they would understand that there's a downside to their daughter being found alive. There's all a lot of upside. No, don't get me wrong. I mean,
well, let's start with the fact that their daughter's alive.
Yes, sir. Please, Mr. Henry, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there can be a downside if someone makes a bet and now he's supposed to get on his knees and knee pads.
So the $2.5 million lawsuit against the Smarts is because they found their daughter alive and that caused you humiliation.
Yes, sir, it did.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Beth. Beth, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
With Stephen Bozell, yeah. Go ahead, ma'am. Yes, go ahead, ma'am. I was just mentioning you're on with Stephen Bozell.
Okay. I was just wanting to tell the guy that's made the lawsuit against the Smart family how crazy it sounds to everyone. I mean, I couldn't imagine somebody agreeing with you other than the attorney that thinks he's going to get something extra out of it.
Well, my attorney's a female, ma'am.
Well, okay, she, for that matter. I mean,
right.
I couldn't imagine why she would agree with you other than just the fact that she's gonna get something out of it if she wins.
Yes, ma'am, I understand, and I've had to explain the lawsuit. See, basically, this lawsuit is a defamation lawsuit. When I made the
defamation of character due to the fact that you made a bet as a dumbass.
That's easy for you to say, but you got to admit, as of August last year, 99.9% of the American people probably thought that girl was not going to be found alive. So you'd have to admit that's a pretty good bet to make. Now,
but when you make a bet, you have to suffer the consequences of that bet. That's why it's called a bet. You take a chance on losing.
Right, but there's no way I could have lost that. Also,
guess what? You did lose.
Yeah, but
did lose.
Yeah, but guess what? He sends knee pads to my house?
Beth, watch your language, please. I'm sorry.
Yes, you can't say yes.
Do what?
You can't say the S word on the radio.
Okay.
All right. But here's the thing. Okay, he should have sent what over to my house? What are you talking about? He sent knee pads, he winked, offered me to go out to dinner and everything.
Okay.
I'm the one guy, everybody in America, okay, Beth, everybody in America believed that girl was history. She was a ghost. And I'm the guy that's got to take the fall for everybody? Why?
Well, wait a minute, man. You're the guy that made the bet.
Well, you, Mr. Henry, you, Beth, everybody listening, they all thought she was dead. But I'm the guy that gets ridiculed with knee pads, the guy saying, hey, take a look at my crotch, and maybe I'll take you to Taco Bell.
Okay, but we're not the ones that made a bet with somebody taking the chance on losing.
Let's say I did make a bet with somebody, and let's say the joke was loser gets on his knees, okay?
All right.
Dude, if the guy sent me, knee pads, I'd laugh it off.
Okay, what if he sent them to you in front of his, what if you sent your wife out and she found them?
I'd laugh it off. I'd say to my wife, look at that, you know, that's that guy.
Well, sir, I don't think you know what you're talking about, because...
Well, what makes you think I don't know?
Because you are not in my shoes. You're just theorizing. That's all I'm saying. It's a hell of a humiliation. And then I broke down, finally, in my car, and this child, the child came by, I forget the kid's name, he was at the volleyball tournament, and he Johnny Billaway.
Right.
And he said, Mr. Bozell cries like a girl. So now that humiliates me further.
And I understand you're suing his parents.
That is correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, ma'am, let me ask you something.
Hey, wait. All
why
I
does
want to
Mr.
know
Hutchins
where you
get
live
the...
so that I can stay as far away from there as I possibly
okay.
can.
Okay, why does Mr. Hutchins get to call me right before I go to bed and say goodnight, sweet prince? He don't need to do that.
He's caged.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
If you feel like that this guy is harassing you, then maybe you need to sue him. But
that's
to sue
right.
To sue the Smart family for something they had no control over is ridiculous.
Yes, they did, ma'am, because technically they did not have to look for her. And that shows premeditation.
Wait a minute.
Premeditation?
Wait a minute.
But They don't even know you.
I know, but they
did not do it intentionally to you.
But they did do it, and possession is 9 points of the law. So you have to figure that in.
Possession.
Well, what, are they supposed to not look for their daughter?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that because they did, I was humiliated. Now look at this. Okay, Mr. Henry, could you hold on for a minute?
Yeah. We're talking with Stephen Bozell.
Okay, yeah, put him on the table. I just got a delivery of flowers and chocolates.
And is this from Mr. Hutchins?
You better believe it. Okay, this is further harassment of me.
All right, Beth, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Perry.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, I have a hard time believing this is for real, but just in case it is, I wanted to get to
I want to ask you,
Mr.
Bozell, hold on. All right, Mr. Bozell, are you kidding us?
Sir, if you think that a $2.5 million lawsuit against the Smarts is some kind of a joke...
Well, I think it's a joke that you think that their pain is over and they're happy now. Have you considered what their daughter has probably been through over the last 8 or 9 months?
Yeah, but
her pain will never be over.
What about
and
my
I
pain?
Don't think you can imagine what kind of humiliation she has been put through.
What about my pain?
And you are worried about your petty humiliation because somebody's teasing you
what
like
about,
a child.
What about my pain?
You don't have any pain. You're being teased.
Yes,
big
I do
deal.
Have pain. I have serious pain. Because it was done in front of my wife, because a little kid laughed at me, and I broke down in my car.
Well, how did you make it through childhood?
I guess I did.
This is like childhood teasing. It's ridiculous.
Get on your knees. I suppose,
yes.
if a man said that to you, you'd be all right with that.
I would actually kind of laugh and think it's funny. I wouldn't do it, and
yeah.
I'm sure the man was joking, but you made the bet.
You'd sue him for sexual harassment or something, probably.
No, I wouldn't. But you made the bet.
Their
you
pain
believe
is,
in,
ma'am, their you, pain is, the Smart family pain is over. Mine is just beginning.
Their pain
said,
will
kid,
never be over.
That kid said that I cried like a little girl. That's taking a chunk out of my manhood, and someone's going to pay.
That's
maybe,
it.
Do you believe in karma?
Do I believe what, ma'am?
In karma? Bad karma?
I've never been there.
I think it's bad karma that you would place such a disgusting bet.
I don't know what she's talking about.
Karma. It's an old yoga term. It's an old Hindu term. All right, thank you, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. Let me move on here to Tisa. Tisa, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. We're right here.
I'm calling you from Salt Lake City, Utah, and we are actually on our way to the celebration to celebrate Elizabeth Smart coming home.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I find this absolutely disgusting. If this man is embarrassed about making a bet that he had no place when it comes to human decency to make, come on down to Salt Lake City. There are 60,000 people here who would gladly laugh at him.
Well, would you please ask the Smarts when you go there?
Don't ask the Smarts anything.
Well, I think I'm within my rights, Mr. Henry.
About what?
If they want an out-of-court settlement.
Are you serious? You seriously want to go through with this?
Well,
you know what? Sir, I have one thing
can
to
I
say.
Can I spell my last name? Just so they know who to make the check out
to. When it comes to this, but if you seriously want to go through with something like this, I bless you. I give you my blessing, and I hope that you bring a condom because you get everything you deserve. That was so wrong to say something like that and make an outrageous, outrageous bet like that when it comes to a child's life.
I bring a condom. He's supposed to put the condom on.
Well, you know what?
Okay.
I don't even want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You're foul.
Ma'am, please.
All right, hold on.
Come to Salt Lake City.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In this day and age, the legal system certainly has been run through the ringer. So many people with so many grievances. The legal system's there for the grievances that we have. The gentleman that I have on the line, I've been talking to for the last 30 minutes, lost a bet. And what was the bet? It was a bet that he made with a next-door neighbor. And he bet that little Elizabeth Smart, who, thank God, was found on Wednesday, he bet she wouldn't be found. He says that that was the intelligent bet to make. He said that that's generally the case. I suppose I can't fault the man for thinking that. But he made a bet with a next-door neighbor, and the stakes were loser gets on his knees. Now, I'm not going to go any further than that. Mr. Bozell, you were sent knee pads by your friend. You were sent flowers today and a box of chocolates, and he offered to take you to dinner.
That's right, sir. All of it designed to humiliate me.
And he did a lot of this in front of your wife.
Yes, sir.
Even though you made the bet in front of everybody at your house.
That doesn't make any difference.
But the most outrageous thing to many of us is that you want to sue the Smarts for having a hand in your humiliation because they found their daughter alive, thus you lost the bet. And you even further said they didn't have to look for her.
Sir, I know that that is not realistic, but what I'm saying is it is within their control. They did not have to look for her. She might not have been found, and I wouldn't have been humiliated. But they did look for her. She was found, and now I'm getting knee pads in the mail? And I got a guy, you know, blowing me kisses and everything like that.
You know, it's tough for me to feel sorry for you. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rick. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Dude, what kind of man are you?
You know, I'm standing up for my rights as a human, as a citizen of the United States of America.
Well, sir, you must have a different set of rights than everybody else in the United States. You know,
well,
because...
No, last time I checked, the Constitution was very clear.
That's right. But what if your comments on this radio caused me to run off the road, and I hear a telephone pole because I'm so upset, is my wife got the right to come and see you because you caused that?
She could call my attorney, Dolores Blazingame.
Would she have the right?
I'm not an attorney.
No, you answered the question.
You're not an attorney, but you've been on here talking all this stuff.
What?
You've been telling me all about this stuff. The guy's asking you a question.
I'm asking you a question. Would you feel right in paying me $2.5 million because you had no control over me listening to this radio station, but yet I got so upset I was paying too much attention...
Okay. When did you hit the pole?
Huh?
When did you hit the pole, sir?
When you upset me so much.
You have hit the pole?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, the point's moot.
Wait a minute, it's a hypothetical.
Hypothetically, man, what kind of dude are you?
No, I'm just asking. You said to me you hit a telephone pole.
You know, this guy harasses you so much, doesn't he? He sent you all this stuff and harassed you.
Sir, I got knee pads, flowers, and a box of chocolates.
Have you ever heard the saying, those who talk about it the most do it the least?
No, I have not. I don't even know what that means.
It means that the ones that talk about it the most are the ones less likely to do something or expect something.
Meaning this friend doesn't expect anything.
No, I know he doesn't, but he's humiliating me with knee pads and candies.
No, you're humiliating yourself by being on this nationwide radio. See, only a group of hometown people knew it before now. Now you have humiliated yourself on nationwide radio. Now somebody needs to sue you.
Why would they sue me?
Well, for hurting yourself.
I don't understand that, sir.
It's just as crazy as what you're talking. These people had no control over your sick bed with your friend over something that should have been said. You know, we need to pray that they do find her alive, not that I think they won't. You know, this is my point. The bed itself was sick. You made your bed, now you have to sleep in it, and you want somebody else to pay your debt. It doesn't work like that in America.
But this is a class action lawsuit on behalf
of... I don't care what kind of lawsuit it is.
No, but let me explain. Everybody in America who made this bet, also with a friend, would share in the winnings or share in the damages.
Sir, the bet should not have been made to start with.
Well,
if you're not man enough to see that, then the rest of this is just irrelevant.
You didn't make the bet?
No, he didn't.
No, sir, I didn't make a bet. You know, it's
anybody
like,
who is who
it's like the lady said before. You don't
be found alive. You don't share in the $2.5 million.
You don't gamble with people's lives for your benefit.
I'm not gambling with her life. I didn't take the young lady.
You tried to profit with the outcome of somebody else's life. Now, you've made your bed, and you find it too hard to sleep in.
That's not true, because...
It is true. That's exactly what happened.
Because if I would have been right with that bet, I wasn't going to make Roy Hutchins. I wasn't going to send him knee pads.
It doesn't matter. The bet was sick.
All right. What about this part of it? I was called a crybaby by that kid in my daughter's volleyball team, and
you are a crybaby. You're on national radio here being a crybaby over something that has no relevance.
All right.
Reverence.
See, the gentleman made a good point, too. It was a hometown thing. Now everybody in America knows it.
No, they would have found out about it anyway. It doesn't make any difference.
With a mouth like yours, I'm sure they would have.
Well, what's your name? Because I'm saying you could share in the winnings.
I'm not interested in profiting from something as sick as this.
You miss out.
You know,
$2.5 million. What, are you going to give a buck to everybody?
She asked you how you got through childhood. You couldn't answer because you haven't yet. This is so juvenile. This is like my 13-year-old daughter would come up with something.
Sir, I have to admonish you. If you call me a crybaby again, I can sue you.
You know.
Okay.
So I'm not afraid of that kind of stuff.
That's why I need your name.
Because, you know, the whole nation.
I'll call you crybaby.
Okay. Phil Hendry, right?
Yeah, H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
Mr. Henry, I hope you understand that you will get a letter from my attorney.
You're a crybaby, Steve. A crybaby. I want your attorney to sue me, and I hope I get it in the newspaper so everybody can see what a jackass you are.
Okay, boy. Man, you have bought it now.
Well, I'm not... You know, baby. I'm not into name-calling, but the facts are the facts. You know, if the shoe fits, wear it.
Diaper-wearing, poo-poo in the diaper, crybaby.
See, now you're encouraging him. Now he's laughing at me, and everybody will.
I'm laughing at what he said. You know, sir.
You're a big powdered pink crybaby.
Powdered and pink. Oh, boy. That's another $1 million right there.
I have been laughing since you got on the phone.
This guy on the phone won't call me a crybaby because he's afraid. He knows I'll sue him if he does.
I don't call a crybaby because it's beyond my character. If you want me to sue you, you keep talking.
What are you going to sue me for?
I'm not. The point is, you know, what kind of man are you? You know,
I'm standing up for my constitutional rights on account of being around Elizabeth Smart, and that humiliated me.
Well,
what kind of an idiot are you? All right, look, thank you very much, Rick. 1-800-449-8686. On account of they found Elizabeth Smart, and that humiliated you.
Don't get me wrong. I'm glad they found her. But the part that is wrong about it is they looked for her.
Well, if she just wandered out of the woods and they weren't looking for her, that would have been all right?
It would have saved our legal system a considerable amount of money. Yes, sir.
Here's Kevin on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Kevin.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I don't want to get in a big debate with the guy, and I usually don't call shows, but he is everything that is wrong with people in America. His lawyer should get disbarred. And for lack of a better word, he ought to be taken out and being flogged. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And I don't want to argue with you about it.
What was your bet?
I didn't make a bet. I would never make a bet. And I would venture to say 99.9% of people in America did not make that bet, and you're all by yourself.
No. You know I'm right. You know that they didn't think they would.
You are way too simple-minded and way too naive to ever comprehend what anybody else is telling you. So I hope you the best of luck.
Okay, sir, you are. Okay, you said you want me to be flogged? Is that it? Okay. That's also a lawsuit.
Well, since you don't know who I am, good luck. And with that,
I will ask you your name,
for putting me on my radio.
Well, it was good to put you on, sir.
I demand to know his name.
I don't know what his name is.
Mr. Henry, I'm going to give you to the count of five.
I don't know what his name is.
One, two.
I don't know.
Four.
I don't.
Five.
No.
Okay, that's one other count that I'm going to sue you for.
Oh, I see. So you're going to sue me for calling you a crybaby and not giving you the name of a guy whose name I didn't know.
Yes, sir.
Here's Christy on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Are you ready for me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name's Christy. Mr. Boswell?
Yeah, my name is Bozell, ma'am.
Bozell, I'm sorry. Okay, I understand that you were humiliated because you are supposedly going to have to give your friend a Hummer, right? Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I've got two, Stephen Jr. and my daughter, April.
Okay.
She's named after her mother.
Okay. I also have children. What would you do if your daughter ended up missing for 9 months? You didn't know where she was, if she was being taken care of, they were doing to her.
I would be full of fear. I would be full of prayers. I'd be everything the Smart family was, ma'am.
And you would be looking for her. Is that right?
I would have to take into consideration what my legal exposure would be on that.
Okay, so you would
wait. What does that mean?
In other words, if you're looking for your child, you have to be aware of what your legal exposure is.
Meaning what, sir? Speak English.
Meaning someone could sue you if you actively looked for her and they bet a friend of theirs that she wouldn't be found.
So you would be afraid of being sued so you wouldn't put out missing photos or... missing photos of the abductor that you might think has her.
I would have friends of mine do it, so they couldn't trace it back to me.
Oh, right. So you wouldn't initially take the step to find your own daughter?
No, ma'am.
What kind of father are you?
I believe I'm a very good father. My daughter is in volleyball. She's also a...
I don't care what the sports your daughter does. I don't care about any of that.
She's a good girl.
You would not look for her? You would not wonder if somebody's hurting her?
I would have my friends look for her.
Wait a minute.
I'd look for 3 or 4 days, then I'd relax and wait for her to come home, because any more after 4 days, then they could sue you for messing up their bed.
Oh, right.
What do you mean relax and wait for her to come home?
Well, the little girl come home.
She's 15. If the cops hadn't pulled that nut over, they never would have found her. So you'd look for her for 3 or 4 days, then you'd go home because you don't want to get sued because some guy may have had a bet out on it.
That's about it, yeah.
Jesus.
What kind of, if you don't mind me asking, I don't want to get into your personal life, but
yes,
what
ma'am.
Kind of childhood did you have? What kind of parents did you have?
Well, they were good folks. My father worked for the railroad. My mother was a homemaker. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I moved to California about 6 years ago.
Were you abused as a child in any way?
No,
lack
ma'am.
Of love?
No, ma'am.
Maybe?
No, not at all. My parents...
Lack of schooling?
Deeply. No, ma'am. Not at all. I went to grade school in Knoxville, Tennessee. I went to high school there. I went on...
To what? Fifth grade?
Well, ma'am, let me ask you something. When you got out of the whorehouse, where'd you wind up?
Okay,
well,
now what's that supposed to mean?
Well, she's insulting me, so I thought I'd just, you know, go right along with it. I was trying to answer the lady. She's insulting me.
Look, you're the guy that said that you wouldn't look for your daughter because you're afraid you're going to get sued for a bet. What do you think people are going to say? Jesus,
pal.
Who's this Dolores Blazin game? You know what? I don't want to worry about you. I'm going to sue her.
Sue her for what?
Sue her for representing you. If she hadn't picked up your case, then you wouldn't have gotten on the radio and talked to me. So I'm suing her for representing you and giving you the idea of coming on my radio show, talking to me, and giving me a headache. How about that?
You know, I'll go right along with you.
Now you're talking my language.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And various forms of bleeding. What is that?
Look, you don't have to sue her. I'll resolve this thing right now.
What are you
going to
do?
I'm going next door to Roy Hutchins. I'll go ahead and do it there. Everybody's all pissed off at me. I'm going over to Roy Hutchins' house. But I need to stay on the line so you can be a witness.
You're going to go to Roy Hutchins' house and do what?
I'm going to give him what he won in that bet. I'm going to get on my knees. Where's the knee pads, honey? April, honey, where's the knee pads?
Wait a minute, pal. I mean, you're not
going
to...
I'm going over there right now.
I can't air this, okay?
I just want you to witness the fact that I'm going to make the attempt.
Wait a minute. Where are you, man?
I'm walking next door. Wait. I'm going over to Roy's house, honey. Give me the knee pads. I'm going to go ahead and give him what he wants. You know, you people, get ready, Roy. You sweet prince is on his way. You people in the media want to make a fool out of me? All right, I'm at his front door right now.
Mr. Bozell, look, we can handle this.
No, I'm at his front door right now. Here we go. Who the hell you want? Hi, Roy. It's Steve. Hey. Came over to do the do. Let me just see your zipper. What the hell are you?
Mr. Bozell, you all right?
Yeah.
Mr. Bozell, sir.
Wow.
He got the crap kicked out of him. He got the crap kicked clean out of him by Mr. Roy Hutchins. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
That was me doing the voice of Steve Bozell. Get more information on The Phil Henry Show by going to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and buy one of our CDs. The money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Pick up some souvenirs in our souvenir shop. And now the entertainment news. The Sopranos looks like that's over. Apparently, what's his face? The fat man there, Gandolfini, wants more money, and so they don't want to pay him, and they have stopped production on The Sopranos, and it looks like it's over, which is fine with me. It was a nice show, it was great, but I ain't gonna, you know, I'm not going on hog wild, because that show, especially after that, what's his name? You know that Uncle Junior guy, the bald-headed guy? When he started singing, it really began to just, it started fading a little then. I think it was the end of the season before last. He did a whole, like the last episode, he was singing. And it was the worst singing I ever heard in my life. And then I realized, oh, I get it. This actor wants to sing. And so they appeased him and they let him sing at the end of one of the episodes. It was horrible. And so you could see the show beginning to come apart at that level. Good show, but I'm not married to it, so good riddance to bad rubbish. It's out of here. Sopranos gone. 1999 to 2000, whatever the hell it was. Gandolfini's going to go off. 2002, he's going to go off and be a big movie star. Yeah, right. Where are you going to do that, Jim? If I may. You did that Mexican, and I ain't talking about Jennifer Lopez either. That movie... Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt. Well, there's a surefire collection right there. That's a smoker. You know, Brad Pitt's a guy. I saw this guy. I spotted him early, and I liked him. I liked him a lot. He's never quite busted it through, has he? He's never quite gotten past that pretty boy thing, has he? And Gandolfini was playing a gay guy in that movie. Then he played another thing with Billy Bob Thornton. Then he did that thing with Redford. Stop. Think about what you're doing, for God's sake. Slow down. You could do The Sopranos, then take a very long look at some of these movie scripts and, you know, do another one and another one. Don't jump right into this stuff. You should play a military guy, but not like that scumbag you played in that Last Castle. Do you remember James Gandolfini in Crimson Tide? He had a very small part in Crimson Tide. Very good. He played like a mechanic or something, a sergeant on the submarine. Look at Gandolfini. You better watch. You're going to go to work with David Caruso. Oh, wait. His movies suck, too. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You guys read Snopes.com? You know what Snopes.com is. They debunk myths. Here's the latest myth. Snopes.com is a place where you can go and look up an urban myth, and they will debunk it or validate it. Here is the latest from Snopes.com. The claim is that a Corona, California man sued Secretary of Homeland Security Tom Ridge for emotional distress after duct taping his privates. The status? False. Here is an example collected on the internet from 2003. Man sues Tom Ridge over duct tape fears. Corona, California. Tom Ridge's advice to Americans to stock up on duct tape and plastic has sparked a lawsuit which has been filed against him, the Department of Homeland Security, and President George W. Bush. Stephen J. Bozell, the owner of B&B Construction in Corona, California, has filed a lawsuit claiming emotional distress, personal injury, and sexual dysfunction after he wrapped his privates in duct tape to protect them from a biological attack. After watching Mr. Ridge on television advising us to stock up on duct tape and plastic, I went to the local Costco and bought $100 worth of duct tape to protect myself, Bozell said. When I got home, I taped up my windows and doors, and after I did that, I realized if survivors like myself are going to reproduce and populate the Earth after a biological attack, we have to protect our privates as well, end quote. Bozell claimed in his lawsuit he wrapped his privates in duct tape as a test of homeland security. When he tried to remove the tape, Bozell injured himself and the tape began peeling off skin and body hair. After calling an ambulance, Bozell was taken to the hospital where the doctors and nurses laughed at him. I told the doctors and nurses at the hospital if they laughed, I would file a lawsuit against them and the hospital. They laughed anyways, and I now have another lawsuit pending. Bozell said with tears streaming down his face. They went out their way to make me look like a fool. Once I saw the doctor's scalpel go through my privates, I totally lost it and blacked out. Also named in the lawsuit is the President of the United States, George W. Bush. President Bush is just as liable for injury to my reproductive future because he hired Mr. Ridge to run the Department of Homeland Security. Mr. Ridge gave the nation bad advice. They also make me look like a fool, Bozell sobbed. Now, Snopes will then conclude with origins. Now, where did this idiotic story start? And they look for it, and they print what is the origin of this idiotic story. And here is Snopes' description. No resident of Corona, California filed a lawsuit against Secretary of Homeland Security Tom Ridge for emotional distress after duct taping his privates. This piece is a spoof of the craze set off during the Code Orange security alert in February 2003 by the advice for U.S. residents to have duct tape and plastic sheeting on hand to create sealed-off environments in their homes in case of chemical or biological attack, as well as a jab at litigious cranks who file all sorts of frivolous lawsuits. Stephen Bozell, putative owner of B&B Construction in California, is a fictional creation of talk radio host Phil Hendry. Henry's stock and trade is inventing outrageous guests with whom he converses on his show. The guests are actually voiced by Hendry himself. And one of his recurring characters is Stephen Bozell, owner of B&B Construction, who regularly, quote, appears, end quote, on Henry's show to discuss his latest loony lawsuit. Now, somebody put this on the Internet, and people are putting stuff on the Internet literally every day having to do with something on our show. I've seen guys enter chat rooms calling themselves Ted Bell. I've heard of guys getting on message boards calling themselves Margaret Gray. And this cat here, who probably, I don't know where this was collected off the Internet, probably some phony baloney news service that some poor schmuck read and thought it was real and asked Snopes about it and, you know. The Internet makes my point better than I could ever make it. The point that I've always made on this radio show, which is ultimately you got to think for yourself. Now, I know a lot of shows claim that that's what they're about, but of course they're not. This show proves it each day. And if you go to the Internet looking for information, you better be really, really careful. You know, otherwise you'll wind up like poor G. Gordon Liddy that time he was reading all the Steve Bozell lawsuits on his show and didn't know they were phony baloney. I wonder if he fired his producer over that one. Well, there you go. So, if you guys are out there, you're using my Steve Bozell name, I'm watching. We're all over the place. Sometimes they use the names of the characters to try to make money, then we shut them down. Other times they just use the names of the characters to further the insanity of our radio show, which time we let them go. Anybody out there trying to make any jack off of my stuff, though, I will sue like Steve Bozell would never sue. That's the truth, Ruth. All right, update. The television pilot that we're going to film will be filmed on April the 8th. Now, if you'd like to be in the studio audience, check back to our website, and we'll give you ticket information. If you're in the Los Angeles area, if you're going to be in L.A., like they used to say in those game shows, if you're in the Los Angeles area and would like to be a contestant on Concentration, just send us a card. If you're going to be here and you'd like to see our pilot, we will link NBC on our website. Isn't linked yet, but we will, and we'll give you information on how you can get over to see the pilot, the NBC pilot that we're going to shoot on, I think it's April 8th or 7th, it's something like that. And then, of course, also in conjunction with that, if we go to war with Iraq, we're going to be, you know, here doing our show as well, so don't worry about that. We're going to be here. And who knows if we're going to go to war with Iraq at this rate. I'm not saying, like, oh, boy, goody, goody, can we go to war. But the problem is that we really need to, and it doesn't look like anybody wants us to other than, you know, a few of us. Oh, that's 71% of the American people, that is. Everybody else has a bigger fish to fry. You know, France has all those business deals that are going down in Iraq. France, of course, one of the great hypocrites of all time. They have their money and their parts business there in Iraq. They have their oil business there in Iraq. Of course, they believe in peace, don't they? That's another one my brother-in-law is trying to lay on me.
The French are standing up to us. They have great integrity.
Oh, come on. You can't possibly. Didn't you get out of the fifth grade, man? Yeah, they got all kinds of integrity, those French. Yeah, they're doing it purely for altruistic reasons. They don't have any money floating around down there in Iraq. They don't have any economic interest or financial interest down there. No, not at all. Yeah, they're just... France is trying on the new invisible clothing. It's called the clothing of the wise old uncle who says, can't we all just get long? Yeah, sure. But at this point, it doesn't look like things are going to move in that direction. So, Saddam, you're all right, baby. You're safe. Everything's good. It's all good. You can pull back to the palace, torture a few more people just before dinner, have yourself whatever you have, you know, maybe a CC and 7. What's your favorite whiskey? Johnny Walker, the black stuff or red? What do you like, baby? that sends Saddam a case of whiskey. If we don't go to war, we should send him a case of whiskey on behalf of the Phil Hendry Show with a big congratulations. Asshole. Yeah. To the His Excellency, the President, congratulations. You did it again, baby. Stuart, you did it again. You did it. You're hanging in. Congratulations, courtesy of the Phil Hendry Show. A big case of whiskey. May you drown in it. May you drink so much of it, you puke your guts right up out of your throat. That's what we're going to do. Because the guy has held on one more round, another three-minute round, and he's held on for another win by decision, Saddam Hussein. Ding, 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 ding. And won't they be dancing in the streets here in America, in France, in England, in Germany, in Italy, all over the world, Canada, Mexico. The world will be safe again. And Saddam, we can continue to do what he does in that groovy way that he does it. And big bad America will have been taught a major lesson by the French and the Germans and all those other guys. And we will have to go back into our hole and lick our wounds and realize that we're no longer the power that we once were. We're just another face in the landscape, equal with the French, equal with the Germans, and we'll believe it. We're Americans. We have a sense, although we're very proud of our country, we do have a sense that we're sort of lesser than other people. We're not too good at getting it together on any particular issue. Like, for instance, we could boycott French products. $47 billion worth of stuff, we could actually do it. We won't. It'll never happen, not in a million years. It's just not the kind of people we are. I think we'd get together and pick up a rifle, go over there and shoot somebody, but they're not going to let us do that. So the world is now safe. Now, the next terror attack that takes place on American soil, what do you think? I'm thinking L.A. I'm thinking L.A. I think it's going to be here. I think it's going to be a bomb. I don't think it'll be radiological or anything. It'll be an explosion. It'll be a major explosion, probably in a bus station or something. Somewhere that'll really panic people. A mall. A movie studio. All it takes is just one bomb, and it'll send panic through this country so deep, the stock market will plummet another 300 points. See? Now, when that happens, well, since the anti-war people can't exactly blame Saddam because they don't want to be wrong, right? They'll do that whole linkage thing anyway. Well, you can't prove that it was Saddam Hussein. Maybe it was somebody else. They'll turn around and blame the U.S. government. We let it happen. The Jews, they did it. Israel did it. That's another one my brother-in-law's feeding me now. Israel. This Roman Catholic jackass. Well, you know what? I should expect that he's Catholic, the most anti-Semitic people on the face of the earth. I should expect. Brother-in-law, Catholic, hates Jews. Yeah, it figures. But Bush didn't protect us, and Ridge didn't protect us. And look what you did, see? Because they can't go and say it was the terrorists. They would look like schmucks then. We had a chance to neutralize these guys. We didn't do it because these cats won. So now when we get, you know, get nailed again, well, those cats, they don't want to look wrong. So it's Bush's fault. See, if he would have just done A, B, C, D, and G. But in the end, at the end of the day, even my brother-in-law would admit this. At the end of the day, if the stock market's up, if the money's up, if the jobs are plentiful, people couldn't care less whether they're burning fingernails over there, whether they're sitting down on a blowtorch toilet. They don't care. If the economy was doing great right now, we'd be pro-war. The whole country, pro-war, 99%. If the country was doing beautiful right now. But because we got this recession going on, everybody's nervous. Well, Neville Chamberlain, man, the guy's alive and well. Jesus. Good going, Saddam. You snuck out another one, you piece of crap. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So what do you think about that one? Just throwing them out there, that's all. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, it's all over, baby. All over. Saddam's going to light up another big fat puffer, kick back with some of those cats in the berets, take a look out there in the Caspian Sea and go, yep, shorty, we did it again. Blew off another bush. It's beautiful. Beautiful. What say we bust out some of that Johnny Red, you know? That Knob Creek, huh?
You got it, boss.
Right. All right, let's go over here to Jim. Jim, hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine.
Phil, I've been listening to you ever since you began on nights at WIOD, and you replaced Randy Rhodes, and then you went in.
Here's a guy that has all the resumes going. Yes, sir.
No, not resumes. Just telling you I've been a long-time listener, so you know I'm not some idiot crackpot, you know, who might not be able to defend
No, as a long-time listener, sir, and caller, you are an idiot crackpot. But go right ahead.
Well, you know what? That's a very good point, and I will admit I am guilty of that. But I just take exception. I don't understand. You always seem to be, you know, a liberal Democrat kind of guy. And, you know, we're not even getting partisan here. But, you know, I can understand that you're angry about, you know, the attack on 9/11. But I don't think the war with Iraq is really the solution to that problem.
I see. Well, what do you need from me, sir?
Well, no, I'm just, you know, I just called you to debate you because, you know, you've been really kind of pushing my buttons lately with this goose-stepping thing, and I know you're not a big
goose-stepping, because I defend my country, it's goose-stepping. No, you know, well, sir, you need to come up with something other than those 60s cliches. It's just
the
goose-stepping.
Well, I'm not really a product of the 60s. I'm a guy that waves his 70s.
Right, which is was really a product of the 60s. You know, because I happen to want to defend my country, sir, it doesn't translate into the Nazi regime of the 1930s.
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. Defending your country, attacking a weakened Iraq, who has in no way threatened our country in the past decade.
Weakened Iraq.
They're very weakened. The inspections did very...
Do you believe that?
95% of the weapons.
Do you believe in the United Nations at all? It's always the first question I ask people, because I don't know.
Maybe
you do, maybe you don't.
I do believe there are certain radical elements in the United Nations that want to undermine the United States for no reason.
No. I'm just asking you, do you believe in the Charter of the United Nations? That's a simple question.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, if by
that
same
token, but you see, when they pass a resolution, that means you have to follow through on the resolution. Otherwise, you can't pick and choose which resolution you're going to follow through on, you know? There have been, I don't know how many resolutions since 1991 to tell this guy to do what he's supposed to do, and he didn't do it. The guy is not supposed to have weapons of mass destruction. He's a lunatic. He'll use them. It's the same as if he got his hands on an ICBM missile that reached, say, Baton Rouge, you might have a different thought about that. And if you think that that's crazy, look at what they've got in Korea. They got an ICBM they say that can reach the West Coast. So would you feel comfortable with a lunatic having something like that? And which country that has violated resolutions would you put at the top of your list to deal with? Would you just want this to be a Halloween party where we divide the candy equally? Or would you want to get to the crazy man first, like a Hussein or a Jiang?
Well, I'm going to tell you, if your effective argument is who's violated resolutions, how many resolutions has any country in the world violated?
I just got done telling you. You have to take a look at the danger that is present. And if you have an insane man like either a Hussein or a Jiang who may have an ICBM missile that can reach the West Coast, I would think that you would deal with that guy. I think you would deal with that guy much quicker than you would in Israel, an effectively democratic country that is fighting for its survival. Than a guy who's an insane bastard like that guy or Hussein who would do something that could kill a lot of people. And Hussein, his intelligence agency, met with Al Qaeda in Prague in the summer of 2001.
Phil, do you want to constantly talk over every point?
Did you hear what I just said to you? His intelligence agency met with Al Qaeda in the summer of 2001.
That was disproved.
It was disproved.
Yes.
Then I'll ask you this. Who would you kill first, a guy with a BB gun or a guy with a machine gun? I'm just curious. Or are they both equal?
We're talking about
are they both equal?
Go to war for Iraq.
Are they both equal?
Iraq. We're not talking about BB guns.
No, I'm asking, who would you kill first? The guy with a BB gun?
Why are you giving me all this right-wing rhetoric?
Or the guy with a machine gun? I'm asking you questions concerning the U. But this is what I have to do as a host, because I find that people will not stay on point. I asked you, do you believe in the United Nations and the effective resolutions? And you immediately began a harangue about all the other countries that have violated them too.
Sir, I'm trying to discuss this with you intelligently.
All right, I got a question, and unfortunately, we're not. This isn't the Charlie Rose show, so I got to do this fast. Do you believe in the concept of countries getting together, passing resolutions, and other countries following them?
Yes, but that hasn't been done. There's been all sorts of resolutions, and nobody's enforcing them through the.
Then why have a UN?
United Nations.
Then why have a UN?
Because there's always hope. And I think in this
hope?
Case, the UN...
What hope is that? I see no hope, man.
The hope is...
There's no hope.
Bill, that if it wasn't for the UN, we'd be bombing the crap. And you're pardoning my use of...
If it wasn't for the
crap.
Fact that the United States is going along with the UN, if it wasn't for the fact that we have effectively a moral country that goes along with the UN, we'd
well,
be bombing the crap out of them.
You're going to defend this position when Bush goes in without the sanctioned UN. As
well, what are you going to say if he doesn't? What are you going to say if he doesn't, Jim?
I'm going to say I'm glad he used restraint, and I'm glad that cooler heads prevailed, and
well,
a lot of innocent people aren't killed on both sides.
I personally
of the
think,
conflict.
Okay, that's good, and I personally think the UN is proving itself irrelevant, and this is a safety issue and a self-defense issue. This isn't about poor, weakened Iraq. But I appreciate a really good phone call, Jim. But I had to kind of keep it on track. I hope you understand. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, when did people get pissed? Did people completely forget what happened on September the 11th, 2001? But there isn't any linkage. Hey, man, I got your linkage swinging. No linkage, huh? No linkage. The guy gives money to terrorist organizations like Hamas, Hezbollah. He funds the suicide bombers' families. Just yesterday, a suicide bomber in northern Iraq blew himself up outside the home of a Kurdish politician, a member of an extremist organization allied with Al-Qaeda, based in Iraq. Oh, maybe Saddam doesn't know it's there. Well, that's true. Yeah, he probably doesn't know. He's just, they're rolling right over him, aren't they? Here's Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to address a comment, actually, that you had made to the previous caller in regards to, do you think that the UN as a whole is a worthy operation? And personally, I think yes, it is. As long as you stick to the rules that are set forth in a situation such as this. I personally think that George Bush and the American government's stance as far as trying to change certain aspects of it or push forward in a hasty manner is not conducive.
What do you mean hasty? What are you talking about, hasty? 18 months, 12 years. What do you mean hasty?
I understand that, but we went so far as to push for a resolution such as 1441. Let's see it through.
Hey,
use diplomacy
Mike. 1441 says the guy's got to disarm. And if he doesn't disarm, then he's in violation.
Okay, what is
and,
the
and 1441 proves that, first of all, the guy hasn't disarmed. He has not disarmed.
You're right, he hasn't.
Okay, so therefore he's in violation. Am I the only guy that gets this? This cannot possibly be that difficult to understand. It's not brain surgery.
The whole world will agree. It's not good for us to try and... It's bad politics.
What the hell is the fear that people have?
Better off to sit back and say, you know what, fine.
Mike,
we're going to let the inspections go because we're going to be in there eventually.
Mike, what
anyways,
is the fear?
Let's not lose our friends.
What's the fear that we have of taking this guy on? I got to know. There is a palpable fear. It is a palpable fear among the people who are members of the September 10th anti-war movement, palpable fear of taking this guy on. Seriously, what is the story here? This is a guy who has brutalized his own. My God, you'd be a hero freeing those people.
I agree with you. And you know what? I don't think there's anyone better to be leading our country in a time like this as George Bush. And I really don't like the man, but he'd definitely do better in a war than Al Gore. However, as far as diplomacy goes, if you look at it from a world view, the man's coming off as, I'm a gung-ho Texan badass. And, oops, can I say that?
Well, yeah, but
it's not a politician, and it's definitely not presidential.
Here's the thing, dude. When you get attacked, when your country is attacked and 3,000 of your citizens are murdered, you have to act regardless of what people are going to think of you. You have to do something in terms of safety and self-defense. And my brother-in-law says, why is this? What are we doing? I said, it's a safety issue, man. It's all. It's a safety and self-defense issue.
And I can tell you two things right now. I'd love to see Saddam overthrown, but more importantly, I'd love to see Osama bin Laden swing. And that's, I think, a much, much bigger issue. And I think if George Bush wanted to have himself a good legacy, more so than starting an ill-timed and ill-fated war with Iraq,
what's ill-timed
about after Osama bin
Laden, curious. What's ill-timed
about it? Blazing.
What's ill-timed about it? I'm curious. What do you mean ill-timed? I'd like to know what you mean by ill-timed.
By ill-timed, yeah. I mean structurally, as
the world
time stands, as the world stands,
yeah.
We're going in there, and we can do it alone. But we're going to piss off and burn every bridge that we have in the world.
Name one.
And 10 years from now, we may have done the right thing, but our image as a country and as our society and as our democracy is stained because we blew off everyone else.
Our image is
stained
around the world, whether we're a great people or whether we're a less than great people. Following World War II, when our guys died, I know I've harangued this because it's the best example. The French farmers would herd their sheep out onto the runways of our airstrips so our guys couldn't land. The French, within one year of the freeing of their country, were right back to being the French. What image? There's nothing that America can do to maintain any kind of a positive image. We've created the Peace Corps. We've had the Ship of Hope. We've had good people and bad people all over the world. We've exported our culture to the tune of billions of dollars, not because we've shoved it down everybody's throat, but because they willingly want our culture. And yet America still has a bad image. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care what our image is anymore. And what bridges are we going to burn? Tell me about a bridge we're going to burn.
My children are going to care.
What bridges are we going to burn, man?
What bridges are we?
Yeah, tell me a bridge we're going to burn.
What happens if?
No, okay, I guess we're not going to hear about the bridge
wrong. What if something goes wrong?
What if something goes wrong? Hey, you know what, man? Every time you turn the key of your car, you step out into the world, baby. Something could go wrong. You know, it just takes one step, one foot forward to get through life, and sometimes it's a tough one, but you got to take it. Yeah, a lot of things can go wrong. We could lose. But you're trying to tell me we should not fight the good fight because we can lose?
Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what
I'm
saying.
Well, that is not the...
What I'm saying
that's
is
not the America I know, man.
Set parameters.
I want to know what bridge we're going to burn. What bridge are we going to burn? What bridge are we going to burn? What bridge are we burning?
Oh, we're off the bridge burning thing here.
No, man, I got to know. You said we're burning some bridges. I want to know what bridge we're going to burn. We ain't off anything because you said we're going to burn...
Think of it this way, Phil, for a second. History books 15 years from now, are they going to glorify us for doing the just deed and waiting?
Let me tell you a story, Mike, about a guy named Abraham Lincoln who was called an idiot, a hick. They made fun of his drawl. George McClellan wouldn't even meet him because he was such a dumbass. He had no respect for the commander-in-chief, the president of the state. Hold on for a minute. It's a history book you're talking about. I'm going to give you some history. And then he hired an alcoholic, bum, failed businessman who couldn't get anything right in his life named Ulysses S. Grant. Those two guys saved your country. It may be a different world, but it wouldn't be here today were it not for those two men, disrespected, considered to be hicks, one of them a bum and an alcoholic, the other one some Kentucky hayseed. Those two guys saved the country. And yet in contemporary times, they were considered to be losers and failures. Today, over 100 years later, he's considered to be the greatest president that we ever had. Hey, does it remind you of anybody? I'm not saying George Bush is Abraham Lincoln, but boy, oh boy, he's a dummy and a hick, and he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground, and everybody's smarter. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, we got a flashback from yesterday's show. This was amazing. Jay Santos is a brigadier admiral in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And he made a statement at Major Elvis Newton's Bon Voyage party when he and Major Elvis Newton and his wife were going to the Carlsbad Caverns for 2 weeks. He made a statement that Elizabeth Smart would be found. And because he made that statement in front of Toby and Ed Gilbert while they were having a couple of shots of Rolling Rock and Stoli, then he wants a part of the reward money. Here is Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Number one, I know for a fact the job of an auxiliary police officer. I am a police officer. The auxiliary police officer, he says he's the front line of police. Well, their job is to, whenever there's a crowd, to take crowd control, direct traffic, and bring the real police coffee, sandwiches, and donuts. Now, he says he predicted that she would be found alive.
That's true, sir.
All right. Now, I'm going to make a prediction that everybody can hear on the radio. By the time your auxiliary post commander hears the BS you're trying to put over tonight, like the two you said are no longer on the force, guess what? You will no longer be there either.
Sir,
that's my prediction.
Major Elvis Newton was there the night that I made the prediction. It was 2 minutes before the wet T-shirt contest. I had turned to Teddy, or it was his half-brother, I don't know who. I was a little bit in the bag, and I will admit that. I fully admit that I had been drinking.
Well, I think, you know, and you're saying again your wife's on sedatives. Ain't no damn wonder she's on sedatives. It's a wonder your kids aren't. You have a good night.
She's on Saturday.
Think about what you're saying.
Because we've been robbed of the money and the right to go on the Disney cruise.
Yeah, right. I don't think your wife and your children, once they get old enough to understand what you're trying to do, that's going to be another prediction. They're going to say, who's my daddy?
Sir, we take a peek on the soul of the police. I'm sure it'll fetch you coffee. Can I ask you something? Do you have a theme song? What police force are you on, sir, if you don't mind me asking?
I am on the state police.
All right, sir. Do you have a theme song?
Do I have a what?
A theme song.
A theme song? What are you talking about? Do I have a theme song?
Does the state police agency that you're a member of have its own theme music?
No, they don't. No, they don't.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police does.
Oh, whoopee-doo.
Well, we be...
I mean, so that makes you so great you got a theme song? What?
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Oh, my God.
It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers.
Or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
You know what? I don't need more listen to that silly BS you're doing. Because I know what you do. You serve donuts and sandwiches to the real police. You have nothing whatsoever to do with law enforcement. Nothing whatsoever.
I'm just trying to save lives.
You have nothing whatsoever to do. You're sitting there telling people you're the front line of law enforcement. You have nothing, bud.
George,
you like that one young lady just said, you are a wannabe, probably a Pinkerton guard. Around some facility. You are a wannabe police. I've run into too many like you.
You know, you guys...
This is it. You are a nut.
You guys,
if you think you deserve that kind of money, all right, if there's a reward put out,
for the prediction I just made about you will not be on that auxiliary police
next week. I'll give you money.
I hope I collect.
Have a good day.
Well,
sir, you don't have your own theme music, and that's the whole thing. Yeah, see, he doesn't have the guts. Think about those state police. They get to wear those big hats, and you know, so they can shove those big heads into them. So.
Jesus.
Plus, I get to wear epaulettes. Do you?
How many times do I have to hear this?
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
It's about saving lives.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's choice. That is sweet. Tell me that isn't tight. And that show, by that music, is from a TV show called Highway Patrol when I was a kid. You've never seen it. You've never seen anything like this show. You guys ever? Do you guys know even remotely who I'm talking about when I say Broderick Crawford? Do you know? You don't. The guy was a real hard-ass, tough guy actor.
I had a voice like this. He's talking. Hey, what are you talking about?
You know, he had a, not like Rocky. Well, kind of like Rocky, but you know, the guy would talk like.
And let me tell you something. You guys are going to go down there.
You know, he had a voice like that. Anyway, he played a highway patrol detective. Have you ever seen one? I've never seen one. He wore a suit and a hat, and he'd get out of the the highway patrol car just.
All right, listen. When I say move, you move. Okay, let's go.
And it was the California Highway Patrol, and they go out and they bust guys, and they bust. It was really bizarre. Goofiest thing you ever saw in your life. You know, doing this TV show, doing this pilot, I should say, you see, like, some actors who did movies, now they're in TV again, and it's kind of weird. Sometimes they're, like, in a movie, they have a really good movie career, and then it starts to slip a little, and then they say, well, let's give them a TV show, and then that, like, sucks. See, I can name a million actors that have gone from TV have gone from TV to movies. You know, whether it's Bruce Willis or these kinds of guys. Name me somebody who's gone from film to TV successfully. Film to TV. I mean, I'm sure there's got to be somebody. But I'm not coming up with too many names. Gina Davis had a TV show those last couple of years. She was always in the movies. And that wasn't a very good show, you know. And I'm not blaming her. You know what it is? Some clown writes some crap. You know, they say, well, Gina, we'd like to give you a deal. Oh, okay, great. All right, we're going to give you a deal. We're going to develop a show for you. And then they write some crap. And next thing you know, it's spiraling out of control into just the toilet. Wait till you see the pilot we put on the air. Oh, my God, is it going to smell? No, it's pretty good. If you ever do see it. Like I said, chances of us getting that thing on the air, I'm going to have a sex change before that happens. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot bank on getting a TV show on the air. I've seen far too many people in the radio business, put all their eggs into that television basket, and they wind up picking cigarette butts up out of gutters out here. They wind up like homeless. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Whatever happened to Michael Reagan? Now that we're mentioned, I'm kidding. He's on vacation. JT, how you doing, man?
Good, Phil.
Good.
What about Kiefer Sutherland? He went from a film and has a pretty successful
career. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. That's a very good point. The guy's his show's a hit. It's a smash.
Yep.
Okay, bye.
Yep.
But Kiefer Sutherland. Guy had a movie career. So there is one. I liked him what was the name of that thing? For a Few Good Men. I believe... Lost Boys was good. Lost Boys. But he played a badass in Stand By Me, too. Remember the hard ass he played in Stand By Me? But in A Few Good Men, sir, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the God Almighty and his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, that guy was just a psycho Marine. You could tell right away. So, yeah, Kiefer Sutherland is a guy. But I can't think of anybody else. Why doesn't Clint Eastwood do a TV show? I know, Rawhide. to the retired years. Or I don't know, you know. Rowdy Yates is retired now. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Clint on cooking. There you go. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.